I just want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Allwood, he opened this door for me today. That's why I'm here, to minister the word of God. He said to me, I'm only giving you half an hour. And I didn't respond to it because I said, in my mind, let me hear what's going to happen when I get here. And as soon as I get here, I meet Brother Wilson. And he said, I will give you 45 minutes. I don't know who to, to be honest with you, I don't know who to obey. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will help me to obey somebody. Amen. It's a privilege for me to open the Word of God. I don't take it lightly, the Bible, because it's a spiritual book. And the Bible also reminds us that the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he discern them because they are spiritually discerned. And I tremble at times when I take the Bible because it's not a regular book. It's a spiritual book. I think it was the Apostle Peter when he mentioned that, knowing this first, that the prophecy of the scripture is of no private interpretation. It came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Bible, if God don't reveal himself to you, you will not understand the Bible. So one of the things that I usually ask that the Lord will open the all mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I was dedicating this message to the younger men today, and we open trust. I don't see a lot of them, but we open trust that if it's even one, that it will mean something. We're going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal something to us. 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to look from verse 1 and just read a couple of verses in this passage. We know that God's message is in his word, and we do pray that he will speak to us this morning. We look from verse 1, it said, Now the days of David draw nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgment and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mightest prosper in all that thou doest and whatsoever thou turn thyself. I want to meditate on the word again that is said, that thou may prosper in whatsoever thou doest, and in every way, in everything that you do, so that in everything God is going to be glorified out of what we said and do. Whether in our homes, in our jobs, our marriage, or wherever we may be, that we may prosper in whatever we do. I want to go back again to Psalms chapter 119. Just want to look at some verse. That's one of the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119. And look at just a couple of verses. It said, Blessed are the undefiled in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Father, we ask that you will speak to thy servant in a very special way. Pray that the very words that comes from my lips will come directly from you. I pray that you'll grant me liberty of speech and freedom of expression so that the church will be edified and that God will be glorified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we go back to chapter 19 of the Psalms. It's chapter 19, we look already in 1 Kings, and we're going to go back, turn the scripture from time to time, and understand a little what God is really revealing to us. But before you go to Psalms 19, what we just read in 1 Kings, David was exalting his son Solomon, and David was explaining to Solomon the importance of keeping the charge of the Lord. David was about to die, and God promised David that if he obeyed and keep the charge of the Lord, if he obey in every way, not just in some way, but in all ways, according to what we read there, and verse 3 of the same chapter, he said, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandment and his judgment and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou may prosper in all that thou doest, and wheresoever thou turn thyself, that the Lord may continue his work which he spoke concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their ways to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne. Do you notice David, in this passage that we just read, David didn't ask Solomon to take example of himself. David didn't ask Solomon to look. I remember David reigned as king for 40 years. He had experience. This is a man that grew up as a warrior, fight many battles. David was a wealthy man. You know, he was born in Bethlehem, but most of David's youth, he grew up in the desert, in the wilderness as a shepherd, you know, taking care of his father's sheep. This young man, he was a brilliant man from his birth. And the Bible also reminds us that David was a good musician. So what happened, I believe David get most of his musical skill in the wilderness. You know, he was good at the harp and so on. He was a great musician. That's why today you and I experiencing and enjoying some of the psalms that David wrote. The songs and all of these portraits that David wrote. But David did not say to his son Solomon, take examples from me. David said, keep the charge of the Lord. And that's what makes a world of difference. Even when we come on the pulpit, when we come on the pulpit to deliver God's message, we don't talk much about ourselves. We talk about the word of God, because God's message is already in the word. So we decide that what we do, we deliver the word of God without compromise. So what we find here is that David recognized that in spite of all his achievement, you know, David was a brilliant man. He was wealthy. He built many great palaces and all of these things. He had many servants. He was a great man. And yet, he did not say to his son Solomon, don't forget to take examples from me. He didn't talk about his grandfather, Jesse, either. You know, coming all the way back. He didn't speak about his grandfather, Jesse. Don't forget, these were great men. How about Obed, his great-great-grandfather? He didn't even go back to Boaz, his great-great-great. He said, keep the charge of the Lord. Because that is what's important. What's important is not about me or what my achievement is. Your opportunity, your job is a totally different job from mine. Do you know that all of us here are gifted? All of us here as a believer, God gave you a gift. You're gifted, and sometimes you may not even realize that because you're not using it. We are gifted in the church because it's important for us to understand that the gift that God gave us in the church is to use. The Bible said that it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it's not about us. So if God give you a message, don't try to add or subtract from it. If God give you a message, we must deliver the message what God gave. Because guess what happened? It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit that works in us. You know what the Bible said? It said the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible said. It said there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things, all of us are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we don't talk about stepping on people's toe when you minister in the word. We go directly to the heart. Because the toe cannot change, but the heart can change. So we go directly to the heart. So David is saying to his son Solomon, who will take over. Okay, remember now, David was about to die. We don't live forever. None of us live forever. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you take in the church. You don't live forever. So it's important that you understand that you're going to pass it on now to someone else, to the younger ones. David understood that the God that he served was also a God of principles. A God of principles. He's a just God. He's a God of law and order. And sometimes we forget that. And the scripture in this passage, the scripture reveals what God is in himself. David understood that. The principle of God's attributes and his characteristics is right in the Bible. David understood that. David realized that he is not infinite. God is infinite. David understood all of these things. That's why David didn't ask his son Solomon, look at what I did. I reigned as king 40 years. Look at what I did. Take some advice from me here. David didn't talk to his son like that. David understand that he's not infinite. David understand that he's not omnipotent. Only God is. All of these attributes David realized only comes from God. And he's letting his son know that. God wisdom. Immutability. All of these attributes. Omnipresence. David understand that he's not that type. Only God. And so he's saying to Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord. Psalms chapter 19. In Psalms chapter 19, if you look from verse 7, in verse 7, chapter 19, it said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converted into soul. You see what David was coming from? David was coming from a foundation that was set by Moses. And David was trying to let his son Solomon realize one thing, that you must have to do it God's way. And hear what we just read here in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, it's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is what David experienced in growing up as a young man and as a king. He realized that all these characteristics, all of these attributes is in God and not in him. It's not in him. It's all about God. And so we find that the law in the Torah, which means instruction or direction, this is what David is putting into his son. He's depositing these things in his son. But what we look here in this chapter, in verse from verse 7, what we see here, the passage speaks six words of the law of God. Look at it. Six words of the law of God that was so clear. It talks about the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, and the judgment. This is what came up to us very clear from 7 to 9. But look at the evaluation now. There are now six evaluations in the same passage. In the same passage, we look at the evaluation. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true. Those are the six evaluations. But also there are six results now in the same passage. We see six evaluation. Look on the sixth result in the same passage. Converting the soul. Making wise the simple. Rejoicing the heart. Enlightening the eyes. Enduring forever. Righteous altogether. These are the six results, what we just read. We look at the law of the Lord. It could simply mean in terms we could try to put a lot of little things to look at the law of the Lord, and we find that there are certain things that we can come up with all conclusions, but there are two laws. We have the ceremonial laws and we have the moral law. But I want you to pay attention to verse 10. Verse 10 of the same passage that we just read. Hear what it said. Moreover, more to be desired. This is what we just read now. We're talking about the word of God, the law of God. Hear what it said. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. That's the word of God. Do you find God's word sweet? Do you find God's word sweet? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. How sweet are thy word unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey. Saints, are you really enjoying the word of God? God, are you enjoying? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you enjoying, or are you just coming to the meeting and with a sad face? Many of us, you know, we have all these burdens on the outside, and we come inside the church and we find ourselves not receiving the blessings from God. Why? Because we're holding on to the distraction. We are holding on to the burdens that outside. Leave the burden on the outside and come and enjoy the presence of God. You know, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And there are pleasures forevermore. But you need to come empty and become and get full in the presence of God. We read in Job, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lip. I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. Are you loving the word of God? Are you enjoying the word of God? We are blessed, saints, to have the Bible, the word of God, to live, to enjoy. When you have a little problems, you know, you just turn the Bible and God comforts you. You know, Jesus spoke about himself. You know, he said that his meat is to do the will of his Father. And sometimes you and I forget why the Bible is so important for us to read is because we are living in a world, we are living in a time when a lot of challenges are coming our way. A lot of challenges. You know that even the politicians, the elections, and all of these things can interrupt your mind, interrupt your thoughts, because Satan, he works like that. The Bible said that he walk about as a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour who he may, and he uses the televisions, he uses the politicians to interrupt us as Christians, and we are falling for it. Some of us cannot sleep well because, you know, we are listening to the television and we are listening to all these politicians. You know, you might have a favorite and he's not doing well. Guess what happened? You have sleepless night. I remember when I used to enjoy, you know, watching the Knicks, the New York Knicks. I'm talking about in the 90s and so on. And you know, I don't know why I make this happen to me. Anytime the Knicks lost, I cannot sleep. I just can't sleep, and it's bothering me. I don't understand why I causing this problem for myself. I don't listen to the radio when the sports is about to happen. When the newspaper, I go in the store and I saw the newspaper. I turned in my eyes away from the front page because the Knicks lost. I couldn't understand why my life is like this. And I spoke to myself. And do you know that God gave me a relief from it? But I find also, too, in the politics, you will have the same problem if you don't be careful. If you're not careful, you'll have that problem. You can't sleep and all of these stupidness. The devil is like a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour who he may, and he will interrupt you as a Christian. That's his job. You're fighting not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And this is how it's revealed to us through these television, through the radio, through the media. Principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As a result of that, we must stand strong. Stand strong in the Lord. David is saying to his son Solomon, he knows that these days will come. So David said, keep the charge of the Lord and walk in his way. Keep the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Remember, you read that in Joshua chapter 1, look in verse 8. It shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou meditate in it day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's why David is saying to his son Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord. Saints, it's important for us. And we are talking about the young men of the assemblies. We don't see much of them anymore. I don't know if you realize that. Not much young men. And guess what? The Bible is still clear. He called upon young men because they are strong. Young men today, what we're doing, we're more concentrating on our career, you know, how to make more money, how to look good, to drive the best cars. This is all that, this is a trap. Is it a trick of the devil? The more we have is the more we want. As a result of that, we find that the church, they are not growing. Because the younger man to whom God is relying upon, the young man to whom God is calling, we are more trying to please ourselves. We want the best in life. And so we leave the church and we try to pursue all of these things. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because the night cometh when no man can work. The young men of the assemblies, God have a plan for us. And if we're not standing in the gap, who else will take over? The church building will close. It will close. God didn't ask. Remember when God was asked Moses to build this beautiful tabernacle? Build. The reason for that, God is saying, to build him this beautiful tent or tabernacle is to dwell among his people. No, I was looking at, you know, you're looking at the material. If you go to Exodus chapter 25, and when you look at the material that God prescribed, remember now, he is the one that designed it himself. And when you look at the prescription, when you look at the architect of it and how God asked Moses what to use and what not to use. But one of the things that struck me, he said to them, take an offering, but only take it from those who give willingly. Now, it's important for us to understand that you're not giving to God with regrets. Some of us do that. Some of us give to God and then after we're sorry about it. Why did I give all of this to God? Anytime you find that you're doing something for God, you're giving to God, if you're doing it with regret, don't do it. Because God don't really need your money. He don't need anything from you. However, we do that as a part of our worship. So when we give to God, you must give it with a willing heart. And when I take a look at the tabernacle and we look at this, when Moses finished, when I look at this tabernacle, in my mind, I see this beautiful, this extravagant, marvelous building in the barren Sinai wilderness. The Bible, it reminds us it was a work of heart, planned and designed by God, and it was constructed by the finest artisan available. God asked Moses to do that so that he can dwell with his people. We may not see gold in this building or beautiful glass-stained windows. We do have some. But there are some things that when you really look at it, I'm looking at the tabernacle or the tent, because it was a portable tent. It could go from one place to the other. It was priceless. It was priceless in the barren Sinai wilderness. We're looking at this beautiful building here. This is something that God designed, and he asks us to meet with him there. And it may not be gold and all of these things over, but he is here. He is here. This is God's house. Do you know that all of us are going to go away and leave it? This is God's house. He gave instruction to build it, whether you like it or not. And all of us that comes through this door will go right back and leave it. And God is here. Why? Because it's his building. And saints, when you and I have the opportunity to come, come. Don't stay home. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Don't stay home. As long as you have the privilege of coming to the house of God, come. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. Where else are you going to find this? At your home? At your home, sometimes it's only arguments. Fighting and complaining. You come in the presence of the Lord, you meet God's people, and you have this time of fellowship. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You will find that in the church. Don't stay home if you can. If you're sick, it's understandable. If you're sick, it cannot come. It's fine. We understand. God understands. But I'm saying to you, saints, there is a mercy seat that God asked Moses to build, a mercy seat. And you know what a mercy seat was? For him to be there in that mercy seat. This is important. Do you know that there's a mercy seat right here in Good Tidings, this church? It's not visible, but there's a mercy seat right here. Why? Because God is here with us. God is here with us. So there's a mercy seat. Anywhere God's people are congregating, there is an invisible mercy seat. Something that you may not understand. Do you know that God is sitting here with you? You cannot see with your physical eyes, but he's here. Saints, I'm trying to keep the time, and I'm gonna keep the time open and trust that some of the time, you know, if the Lord's will, that we can continue with this passage. But what I'm saying to you, it's important as young people. This message is really geared up. And God is having a plan for us as a younger man. Young man, you cannot ignore the call. Don't wait until you get old. You know, some of us, you have many men who well-grounded in the word from a child, from a youth, grew up. They do all of their planning and everything like that, and they wait until they get old, till they retire. Then they want to go on the mission field. Hello? You wait till all of it, when you were healthy, good health, and you're strong. God equipped you. He opened a way for you. You ignore it and wait now till you retire and said, oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm going on the mission field. Oh, yeah? Don't work like that. You're not granting God a favor. He needs you now. He said, lift your eyes. Look on the field. It's white already for harvest. You're going to wait until you get old, and then you're ready to go. You're going full-time service. Saints, it don't work like that. Now, you have to leave it now. Now is the accepted time. You don't wait until you get old, saints. You got to do it now. God is able to take care of you. God is able to provide for you. And this is what we think. We believe that if we go there, we're going to suffer. Oh, yeah? How are we going to suffer when the hurt is the Lord's? How? He will provide for us. He will provide for his own. But when you wait until you're sick, when you wait until you retire, and then you say you're going on the mission field, you can forget it. Because you're going to start, you're not going to finish. Yes, you will get your blessing and you will go, but you will come back. It's not going to happen. God wants us when we are strong. And young men of the assembly, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. God is watching you. He is looking at you, and you believe that you can gain the whole world. You want the best in life. Nothing wrong with that. But it's the same God that give you, he will keep you. I'm just going to ask the church to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. I just want to pray a blessing over you. And all the young men in our assemblies, all the young men in the assemblies, take heed. Take heed. Don't take God for granted. Don't take the elders for granted. They are only here to direct you and to instruct you in the way you should go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So don't take it lightly. Aquila and Priscilla, when Apollos was giving a message and he was speaking about the coming of the Lord, but God was already come. The Lord was already come. Aquila and Priscilla, just take him aside and explain to him a little more clearly. That's what the leaders, that's how the elders are supposed to operate. If we make a mistake, if we messed up, they're supposed to take us aside and help us that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the responsibility of the elders. But we as the young men must take heed. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, which is of all among the saints that are sanctified. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated.